Hey friends, Peggy Hall back with you from thehealthyamerican.org. I'm so glad that you loved part one of the video that I had, the interview with Dr. Sam and Dr. Mark Bailey. I've got part two for you now, and you are going to be hearing them talk about how or if you can catch a cold. We'll also talk about the virus debate. Yes, I'm saying these words. I know I'm skating on thin ice on this channel, but you know, why not? I want to get the information out there. This is an edited video of a private webinar that we did a month ago. And the private webinars are for all of my lovely Healthy Americans who are financial partners, helping me keep this ship afloat. And whether you sent me a donation a year ago or you're a monthly supporter, everyone, even if you are a subscriber, a paid subscriber to the Substack, I want to thank you for your support. So every month we do these private live webinars that are recorded for you if you can't make it live, and they all are recorded. So you can watch, we're going on 2 years now, and I have had Dr. Amanda Vollmer on the program. Just this last week, we did Dr. Chari, and I've got some guest speakers and then some of the other shows. It's me along with Pastor David talking about how to heal broken relationships, how to dial down stress, what to do with difficult people. So there's a lot that we cover in an uncensored manner. Now, you know that this platform doesn't like the truth. The truth is too hot for YouTube to handle. So I need to be a little delicate in what I present to you here. So this is going to be an edited version of the interview, and you can see the full length interview when you become, or if you are, a financial partner. Speaking of financial partners, let's hear from the sponsor of today's show. And we are going to hop right on over to noblegoldinvestments.com. Had a really interesting conversation with a girlfriend of mine who wanted to know about investing with gold and if you actually have the physical gold or if you are doing a 401k. And I said, for heaven's sake, call the experts at 877-646-5347. You will speak to someone in the United States. You'll get all of your questions answered, and they will help you diversify your portfolio and protect your wealth, because some people, many people, in fact, are worried about the future of the U.S. economy. We've got the ear election coming up, as I like to call it. And of course, there's so much uncertainty in the air. It's natural to fret about the security of your retirement savings. But there is one asset that stands the test of time, and that is gold. Let me know in a comment below if you invest in gold, whether you have physical gold or that's a part of your portfolio. For centuries, gold has been a hedge against market volatility and economic instability. So when you have a gold IRA from Noble Gold Investments, you can harness the power of precious metals to help protect your financial future. You can roll over an existing IRA or a 401k into what's called a self-directed gold IRA, and then you can enjoy the potential for long-term growth and stability. Of course, there's always a risk of investment. There's no guarantee of any kind. And really, you want to speak to the experts at noblegoldinvestments.com. They will help you understand how to diversify your portfolio with a tangible asset that has real value. And setting up your gold IRA has never been easier with Noble Gold Investments' streamlined process and expert guidance. So again, we've got the ear election coming up with ear election volatility. Hey, I like to have a little fun here. And there is uncertainty. I don't want you to stay up at night worrying about it. So if you've got your money sitting in a low performing, investment, check it out, noblegoldinvestments.com, and you can vote for the timeless safety of gold and silver in 2024. And I also want to show you this. And Noble Gold Investments will give you up to 10 1 ounce silver Trump coins if you are a Trump fan. And I know I've got Trump fans in my audience. And if you're not a Trump fan, you can choose this instead. It is a 10 ounce silver American flag bar, and you get this when you open up a qualified account. So go to noblegoldinvestments.com. I will have a link for you in the description box below. Stay tuned now. It's part two of my interview with Dr. Mark and Dr. Sam Bailey. They're going to answer the question, can you catch a cold? They're going to speak about some of the flaws in these studies about transmission of diseases. And they're going to answer my question, which is, how do you stay healthy? So I asked them for some of their health tips as well. So sit back, enjoy part two of my interview with Dr. Mark and Sam Bailey. Offer. Oh, Anyhow, let's dive in. Let's talk the team No Virus. Tell us who is on that team. I think many of my viewers know the names of Dr. Cowan and Dr. Kaufman, and I know that they are here in the United States and have spoken out. You mentioned Stefan Lanka. Can you tell us about him and others that we may not be as familiar with?
Yeah, sure. And in terms of, there's no official team, like we're not
I know.
part of an organization or anything.
Exactly.
And to be, yeah, but people are probably aware, yeah. So Andy and Tom, we're both really good friends with and have been working in with them for several years now. Of course, there's Christine Massey up in
Yes.
Canada, who does all the FOIAs, et cetera, and coordinates that important material. There's Mike Stone of Virology. He's got an
Yes.
amazing repository of articles just debunking contagion, germ theory, virus model, etc. Of course, then there's the veteran researchers, yeah, like Stefan Lanka, who's been active since the 1990s. He first started speaking out against the HIV AIDS model back then. He was strongly influenced by the Perth Group, who have also influenced us greatly. And the Perth Group specifically addressed the HIV AIDS model and did basically outstanding refutations that nobody's been able to challenge, showing that there's no proof of existence of HIV, essentially, that AIDS is a real thing, but it's not caused by this so-called HIV. Kevin Corbett is another veteran researcher who's started speaking out in early 2020. He's been active since the 1990s as one of the HIV dissidents. So they're kind of some of the people that we've really been influenced by and have been working with.
Stefan Lanka is very important for people that don't know him because he basically made a bet in the mid sort of early 2000s about measles, the existence of measles. And he was trying to essentially stop the mandatory vaccines that were coming in and said, if anyone can show proof of existence of the measles virus with one paper, then he will pay out some money.
€100,000.
And anyway, he won this. Then someone basically came to him and said, I've got six papers. It went to court several times. I think Stefan won initially, lost in the middle court, but he actually won in the highest court. And he's been smeared in mainstream that he lost, you know, it's very covered up. But what he did was just pave the way to show people, you know, it's not just a problem just with one thing. This is what they're going to be doing with.
Yeah, and the court case was really interesting because in Germany, the legislation over there is slightly different. And if you're going to assert something, you have to back it up with scientific papers. Mm-hmm. And then you can ask an expert to assess whether the papers follow the scientific method. So they had these six papers supposedly showing the existence of measles. And then they got one of the establishment experts who had to testify and say none of them were controlled experiments. None of them showed an independent variable, that being the quote virus, etc. So they had to admit in the court that there was no evidence whatsoever. Now, this case has been misrepresented by the media. Even Mr. Steve Kirsch was misrepresenting it recently, and he was parroting the fact checkers in the mainstream media, saying that Stefan lost, etc. But it was a pivotal case. And we saw it again last year with Martin Haberland, again in Germany. And Martin refused to pay fines related to so-called COVID crimes that he'd committed with not wearing a face mask. And anyway, he said, fine, we'll take it to court. And again, knowing that they would have to show scientifically that there was evidence for a coronavirus. And they stalled and delayed, and they finally had another hearing. And then it just got dismissed at the last minute. They said, oh, yeah. No, and they let the whole thing go. So that was really interesting as well. They did not want that going public, that they don't want these things. So it's very interesting. And we've seen it too with here in New Zealand in 2021. I was part of a team that attempted a private prosecution against some of the players who have committed the scam. And we weren't allowed to get it in the court, basically. They did not want this stuff in the public domain, because what happens is that their so-called experts would have to come face to face with us and just to be questioned, basically,
Yeah, they
in
don't want
part.
that. No.
No, and it's so damning for them to see that their experiments didn't follow the scientific method. In all virology experiments, they fail to show an independent variable, so they can't even follow the scientific method. And it all relates back to the problem of the entire virus model. These things have always been imaginary, and people forget that because they think, oh, we might have to disprove this, disprove that. What Sam and I did is just went back to all of the original research and just said, look, this doesn't show what they claim are viruses. It's not like we even have to do more work now. We just have to go back to the foundational papers and go through them step by step, which is what we do, and show people absolutely no evidence for these intracellular parasites.
And this is what their entire game it hinges on, is this invisible boogeyman that we have to be afraid of. So number one, you've got the fear of something that you can't see that has not been proven. My audience is smart enough to understand that it's a theory of virology. It's a very weak, it's more like a hypothesis and unproven, but that is their method of control. And then to add literally the injury to the insult, I'll flip that expression, to come out with these vaccines that now are supposed to miraculously prevent you from getting this contagious disease. And there's no way of ever proving that a vaccine works. Again, just from a non-medical viewpoint, you have two people, one's injected, one isn't, neither gets the flu or COVID. Well, you can't prove that the vaccine prevented it because this person didn't get it. Or let's say they both get sick and one was injected, and there's no way of proving a negative. Or I love when they say, oh, well, the things actually don't prevent infection or contagion, but you'll have a much more mild case. Well, how do they know how severe your case would have been? But can we dig into like maybe three to five of the most like simple arguments that we could have with people or statements that we could make? And I know you've written books and you have that beautiful paper that everybody can read for free at Dr. Sam's website about the end of
A
virology,
farewell to virology.
a farewell to virology. But if you could just summarize that for those who haven't read it, maybe a few of the most compelling points that are irrefutable, that would be great.
I think really one thing that most people can understand without the virology papers, they can be extremely technical. And even with our medical backgrounds and having worked in the system, initially we were not familiar with them either. And we had to spend months coming to terms with genomics and PCR, electron microscopy, isolation techniques, all of this kind of stuff. So one thing that we find people are really able to grasp quickly is the issue of contagion. Now, once upon a time, and this is really important too for people to understand, a lot of these words that they're using, like virus and contagion and infection, they're not the original definitions. They've been changed over time to fit the model. So once upon a time, contagion just meant an influence, like a bad influence. So, you can be around someone and they give you a headache, and it's not that they are passing on, transmitting some sort of germ or something, but their presence is enough to
It's so negative.
affect you in a negative way. That's the original meaning of contagion. What it means now, when you hear it, is the transmission of a disease from a sick person to a healthy one via a germ. So either bacteria, fungal cells, in the virology paradigm, because they've been doing contagion studies since the early 1900s, and almost universally they fail. And these include doing extreme things like taking tissue from one person and squirting it into another, sometimes injecting it under their skin, making them swallow things, inhale things. Now, and if you do a natural kind of experiment, and that would be like being in a room with someone, or coughing on someone, or kissing someone, all that kind of stuff, the quote success rate for transmission is so bad, it's basically non-existent. And they always then step up and do these unusual things, like, as I say, inject material directly into someone else. And if it causes a skin reaction, they go, oh, look at that, that's contagion. And the animal experiments, even worse. So with things like polio, when they claimed it was a transmissible agent, they drilled holes in monkeys' brains and poured in at very high volumes, crazy volumes of biological disease tissue. And then when the monkeys got paralyzed or died, they said, well, that must be the virus at work there. So I think that's easy for people to understand, to see that this is preposterous. And Daniel Reuters, the Australian author, his new book, Can You Catch a Cold, is the biggest documentation of human transmission experiments that anyone's ever produced. And he shows that the success rate for these transmission experiments is just horrendously bad. And he just shows what the study showed, basically. So I think that's, and this is colds and flus and, other diseases. We're talking about everything here. But I think that's something really striking. And if people haven't looked into it, the 1918 Rosenau experiments with the Spanish flu are really important to look at, because remember, this is what they're saying was that the Spanish flu was so deadly and so contagious that anyone could pick it up and die. But when they tried the experiments with healthy volunteers, they couldn't transmit one case, not one. And they tried all sorts of extreme things. So for me, that's something that the public can really connect with without worrying about all of the technical details of virology and molecular biology. And yeah, what else would you say is?
Yeah, I just wanted to pick up on what interests me quite a lot, and I think you'll appreciate that from the homeschooling perspective, is just how much we've all been indoctrinated from a very young age that germs are real, that we have fear of them, and that they can cause illness. And I think this is one of the biggest things that's really difficult to break. And because it also, the immune system, immunity feeds into germ theory very much as well. Like you talked about, there's all these backfill excuses of why someone's immune or why someone gets sick or they don't get sick. And you actually have to, you have to understand how illness happens as well to appreciate the problems of germ theory and yeah, and virology.
I would say another one is just to look at the vaccine charts produced by Bistrianic and Humphreys and Dissolving Illusions by researchers like Jordan Henderson, who's done some incredible charts. He's got a Substack where he has made these charts available. But if you won't, one thing I know for sure is you can't cold call and tell people viruses don't exist. And it won't work for me. And I've written 29,000 word essays on this. If I start that conversation, they just switch off and go, okay, yep, sure.
Yeah, they won't. I was really on the hot seat because I ex well, I exposed, I shared from Dell Bigtree, who is one of the prominent, and right on his website on the ICANN Legislate, they've got model bills, that model legislation that they want to introduce, that they have introduced into some states. And one of the bills is called the Vaccine Confidence Bill. Now, first of all, I don't want those two words put together. I don't want vaccine safety put together. I think we need to take the conversation back into the fact that we have a right to refuse, or not even refuse. That sounds like we are not accepting what we're supposed to. No one has a right to inflict or impose any medical intervention upon us, regardless of whether or not disease is contagious. So I think that's another part of the conversation that we really need to highlight. What do you think about that?
With Dell Bigtree and CHD and these organizations, we've spent years trying to appear on their shows or have chats with
Engage,
them.
yeah.
And universally, they end up shutting it down somehow or changing the story. So we've got apparently close before. So Tom Cowan has been really good. He's such a friendly guy, and he really persists with these organizations. And so just let us come on and we'll have a chat. And we almost get there, but something or someone shuts it down. And I know, and we see disingenuous things. Like I saw Dell Bigtree saying that he spoke with us and we refused to come on unless we had certain demands and we want to assert that terrain theory is correct and all this kind of stuff. And we never did that. We just said we'll go through some of the pivotal evidence that they have produced for the virus model, and we'll just go through it step by step and show why it's false and why it doesn't follow the scientific method. And it's just we can't, they don't engage at the end of the
No.
day. You may have seen there's been a few farcical debate events. I've done a couple. Andy did one recently with Steve
Yes.
Kirsch. They universally break down where the other side just starts launching into gotcha stuff or, ad hominem attacks
I saw
and
that. Yes.
tangential arguments. And we've found it's, well, one thing we've found is that the other side seems to discredit itself. Like one debate I did, there were comments saying that basically I could have just remained completely silent and the virus proponent would have destroyed himself just by letting him talk utterly and letting them go on like this. But it is amazing that it's really disappointing to see some of the freedom advocates, sort of saying, well, there could be some good vaccines or maybe we need some more testing.
That's the indoctrination, and it is it's just harrowing. It's heinous that, again, the moms generally taking the children in, and I don't know if the vaccine schedule in New Zealand is the same as we have in the United States, but it's just absolutely. When I was a child, I don't believe I was vaccinated. My parents are gone now, so I can't ask them, but I know that I did have chicken pox and mumps, and what's the other one? Anyway, chicken pox and the mumps.
Measles.
And so either if I was vaccinated, it didn't work, but I tend to think I wasn't because my mom was a nurse, but she was more along the lines of you both, that she was very skeptical. It's so interesting being in medicine. She really didn't trust it either. She actually didn't trust doctors. We never went to the doctor. She was in the ER, so she was much more of a trauma care of, fixing the broken legs, getting the stabilizing them if they had to get stitched up or emergency surgery. But she was in no way a proponent of medications and being in this mainstream medical merry-go-round. But I know that I had those diseases. What do you think about the concept? I read this or saw a video some years ago prior to COVID where a doctor said these diseases that children get actually help them, or the theory, the idea is that it's possible that it helps them down the line not be susceptible to things like cancer or other things. I mean, that's an interesting way of looking at it, that those diseases that we're told are bad actually could serve a purpose.
I think, what we've found in our research, and when we were trained in the allopathic model, we learned the names of thousands of diseases. It's crazy now. There's like 23,000 or something. And what we worked out, though, was that the body doesn't necessarily have specific diseases. It has conditions, and it's
I
all on
like
a
that.
spectrum. Yeah. And,
Yes.
a lot of us, Mike Stone's done good research on this. Katie Sugac is actually another great
Yeah,
person for
she
people
is
to follow.
really good.
Katie's done presentations showing how over time they just make diseases appear out of nowhere or disappear depending on what kind of case numbers they need. And Mike Stone's done some great articles showing pictures of chickenpox, smallpox, measles, monkeypox, all of these things. And then if you actually take it to a doctor and say which is which, they won't know, because they actually look really similar, all of these things, and it looks like just a degree of severity. So in terms of smallpox, is a very serious reaction where the body is trying its best to eliminate through the skin, whereas something like chickenpox is a much milder version. And so there is that issue as well. And what tends to happen is that your Ministry of Health or the CDC will say, be on the lookout for monkeypox, so that then if someone comes in with a vesicular rash, it will be called monkeypox. Or maybe another month they'll say, watch out for hand, foot, and mouth disease. And and all of these things can look incredibly similar. And this is not new. This happened with polio and other conditions where it's actually much more of a problem than the public might imagine. They envisage that the doctor is like this master at making a diagnosis and stuff. But I mean, Sam and I have seen this in action before, where specialists have come up with completely the opposite ideas. Like once it happened, when I'll give people an example. I was working in a hospital where the specialists, one came in and assessed a patient and said, this patient's in heart failure, they're fluid overloaded, et cetera. They need to be on diuretics and we need to get rid of the fluid. And then another specialist walked in.
A kidney doctor came in.
Yeah, and he didn't realize that the other specialist had just been in there. And I was the junior doctor, and I thought, I wonder if I just say nothing and I won't say that anyone else has been here. And then he started his assessment and looked at me and said, this patient is fluid
He's
underloaded.
dehydrated. It
He's
needs
dehydrated. Oh
fluid.
my
And
gosh.
that's.
And I was going, this is interesting because one of them is probably going to kill the patient here. And these were the top experts, in the hospital. And this is the problem. People think that the doctor can make a diagnosis and it's specific and all this kind of stuff. And they often can't. It depends on, as I say, public announcements, what the hospital's been saying, what tests are available, et cetera. So, yeah, nowadays, Peggy, we definitely look at those childhood, quote, diseases and say, well, they're just conditions, and the gut and the skin and all the parts of the body just have ways of healing, essentially. And how do we call it? I'm like you, they said I had chicken pox when I was 11, I think. And another example for people of how contagious this disease is supposed to be. Well, nobody in my class got it. Nobody in my family of six got it. And we were told it's definitely chickenpox, but nobody around me was sick. So, yeah, in shock. So,
I just have no tolerance for this testing on children. They ha If somebody wants to be a human guinea pig on their own and enroll in a trial or whatever, but children don't have the power to decline, it's so troubling to me. And in the United States, you can't just get a tetanus shot. It's tetanus, it's Tdap, tetanus, diphtheria, and pertussis. And there have been many people who told me that they, cut their foot or had an accident, and the doctor came in the ER, and in some cases they did not even tell them what they were doing, and they got injected. And in other cases they were told, and then people had adverse reactions to it. So yeah, you can very easily see the harms. Any parent that has had a vaccine injured child, and there's many of them, know, but we have no evidence of them working.
And Peggy, it's really difficult because what we observe is people who get caught up once the child becomes sick, they go back to the system that made them sick in the first place, and it goes on and on. So, for instance, you'll have someone who has a baby, and unfortunately, they go along the vaccine schedule, and then the child might get sick, and then they go back to the doctor, and the doctor suggests, oh, maybe we do a course of antibiotics and some antihistamines just to see if we can clear things up, and then they develop another problem after that. And then, in a lot of countries, they might say to the mum, well, we'll give you some money to put your child into daycare, which is not a good idea with really young children. The child gets stressed, gets even more sick in the daycare environment. And also, you've got all these other problems with the corruption of the food supply. So people might be giving their child pasteurized milk, which is making them sick. They are giving them food products which have been completely depleted in resources,
Nutrients.
nutrients, and all of these problems. And unfortunately, if they go to see their family doctor in the mainstream system, they will just prescribe more and more medication. So, And then the child might develop asthma or eczema, and they say, okay, well, we need to be on steroids now to suppress this, and then that causes growth problems and other issues. And I mean, it's really tragic, and we've seen it with friends where we've told them, you have got to stop, you've got to get out of the system and just clean everything up. And unfortunately, they don't. And now they have children who are on inhalers, regular antihistamine,
Steroid cream.
steroid creams, and they think it's all normal, that, oh, this just happens sometimes with kids. And it's really, and as I say, you can't go, and we saw this in the recent era. People would take the jab and then get injured and go back to see their doctor and mention the connection, and the doctor would say, oh, I don't think so, that's
And gaslight
unlikely.
them.
That completely mislead them, and unfortunately bring them back into the same paradigm.
Friends in the chat, I want everybody to go to the website drsambailey.com. We did send you a link prior to the interview because she's got so many wonderful resources where you can watch the videos, you can read. There's a plethora of information where you can dig deeper since we only have a short time together, but these are such great questions. And what I'm taking away from it is we can't trust what we've been told, certainly in, I call it the mainstream medical merry-go-round. And to take control of your own health in ways of living naturally, de-stressing, more of a holistic approach. And
We come from the school of thought, which is right thinking and right living. You have to take care of both of them, and it sounds very simple, but it's not something where you could just embrace right thinking and then eat whatever you want and be exposed to all kinds of toxins that they're putting out. You will get sick from those physical things as well. But it is a very important concept that psychological distress will eventually manifest physically.
And so many people were glued to their televisions over the last few years, and they were just living in fear, increased stress levels, not going outside, no fresh air, no exercise, no sunlight, isolation. That definitely created a scenario where they could be more susceptible. So I think that answers a lot of questions that I had coming on here about, people getting sick. And what I'm really interested in, because I'm all about solutions and how to. So I would love to know, I'd like to have a sneak peek into your lifestyle. Like, what kind of foods do you eat and how do you exercise? And do you do, mindfulness or prayer or meditation or working in the garden? You homeschool your children. I would love to know, like, a day in the life of Dr. Mark and Dr. Sam. And that could just, ins not that we have to mimic it, but that could inspire us because I know so many of my viewers are interested in living a natural, healthy lifestyle that doesn't include the pills and the doctor's visits. And there are people that have been vaccinated as children, or I'm looking in the chat more recently, sort of without realizing the harms, they got a flu vaccine 8, 10 years ago. They may be having some issues now. So, sort of a where can we go from here? How do we get as healthy as we can be?
Yeah, I guess one of the big things is where I think it's lots of little things that you have to do, and it's being taking responsibility for those things. So in our day, I guess we source our food. So our water comes from our land, actually. It's from a bore, but I think something everybody can do is look at where you're getting your water from. Do you have a reverse osmosis? We have a reverse osmosis system. And I know that people balk at the cost of it, but it's like you want the best water that you can get. And for our kids, they can even tell when they're drinking water that's not right. Like I can't tell the difference, but they can. We source our food. We do a lot of, we have, I guess, an omnivore style diet. Everyone has different opinions on what they do, but that's what works for us. So we grow a lot of our own fruit and veggies. They're not sprayed. With glyphosate. If I can't get them, I get organic food from a local supplier. Cooking a lot of our meals, I do everything from scratch. And I know it's time, but I think it's really important. And for things that I can't do, I'm always reading labels. I've become obsessed with reading labels on food. and knowing what's in them. And like Mark said, we've just made a video recently on folic acid, and it's been a lazy thing from my perspective because I used to buy sliced bread and I thought it was good bread. And I'm like, actually, I don't want all this other stuff they're putting in it. I'm going to start making bread myself and just suck it up.
Yeah, and in general, we moved to the country 1.5 years ago. So we live on a 10-acre block. We have our own chickens, so we source our own eggs. We have sheep. We have cows, although they're not on this block, they're on my mum's place. So we're self-sufficient. We have pigs as well. So we're completely self-sufficient with meat. We had to get 5 freezers to store it all. We have, as Sam mentioned, we have extensive amount of vegetables that we can grow here. We have an orchard which has about 16 or 18 trees. And the one thing we didn't have was citrus, which we've established a separate patch with about 8 citrus trees. So in terms of day-to-day, yeah, as Sam says, it's very unusual, but we are very traditional and we sit down for lunch and dinner 7 days a week as a family. And spiritual element's really important for us. We're Christians, so our most important time with our faith is prayer before meals. And the family, everyone in the family, including the kids, takes turns to lead the prayer. And that's really special because you get little insights into what's happening with the family and what's on people's minds and stuff. In terms of exercise, I come from a background of being a pro athlete, and I still run almost every day. So the older boys who are 13 and 11, they'll come out for 10 kilometers, which is 6 miles with me. And they're so comfortable doing that.
So
They
fit.
are so fit. And yeah. And otherwise, yeah, we pretty much do most of our own stuff. Like in terms of looking after the gardens, we've got quite a bit of formal garden as well. And we cut down trees if we need to, et cetera. And do a lot of our own things here. So, yeah, it's very much the other important thing we've done more and more is to extract ourselves out of the system in terms of this whole, this is your week, go to work Monday to Friday, then you have the weekend off, this is a public holiday, all this kind of stuff. We look at that now and just go, that is silly. If it's sunny outside, you've got to make the most and you get outside and do stuff. If it's raining, go inside, do some paperwork or do some writing, et cetera. So we live very much like that. And we sort of now look out from our property and look at people going to work in the morning and returning in the evening and taking public holidays off and all this kind of stuff. And we think that's a toxic way to live. And I know a lot of people are trapped, for financial reasons in that. But we encourage people to. It's amazing because we used to be in that system. Sam and I used to get up early in the morning, go to our medical clinics, come home in the evening, spend a quick time with the kids and stuff. And 10 years ago, that's what we were doing. And we realized it was a toxic lifestyle. And all we were doing were just supporting the system by paying, taxes into it and continuing the whole sham. So yeah, that's important to us is just working out how to live without feeling like someone else is setting your schedule for you.
And we're quite strict on things like, so for the boys, I homeschool them. It's like an online program partially that I use. And that was a decision I have to say I felt kind of strongly about, but it was also, I was a little bit worried about doing it. I thought, am I okay to do this? Will I harm them by, them missing out on something that they should know about? And I realized that that's just all brainwashing that I've been exposed to, and just actually, this has been the best thing, spending lots of time with the kids and screen time, because I think that that's something that really creeps in and controls us. And so, even though I know we're on Zoom right now, but it's
Right.
my minimize that as much as possible, getting out into the natural sunlight, doing things like not wearing sunglasses, letting the light into your eyes, and trying to proactively be out, do things like grounding, walking barefoot feet on the earth. I think those things we sort of take it for granted, like, it doesn't help, and it does. It really makes a difference. We have got a grounding mat that we use at the computer as well. And I just think, Yeah, there's so many little things, I think, but one of the this has all changed for us in the last 4 years. We weren't Christians prior. This is new. And for us, it's been one of the blessings of what's happened is just figuring out this is not all the stuff that they tell you to do is not the way to be healthy. And there's so many little things that you can do, whether it's just growing herbs on your windowsill or looking at the packet and going, does it do I understand everything that's in there? And if I don't, I'm going to chuck it in the bin.
I think too, really, we've worked on local community as well.
Yes.
Like, just you have to get to know your neighbors, you have to get to trust them and your local community, because we find this very interesting situation, and no doubt you get this too, Peggy, is that the online world, you'll get people who absolutely viciously go after you, and you're not sure, you've never spoken with them or anything like that, and they either write some smear article or allege that you've done something that you haven't. And we find this doesn't happen in the real world. Like, when you go out and meet your neighbors, even if you disagree with them about stuff, it's you generally get along pretty well with them if you just act in a civilized fashion. And so yeah, we do, as Sam says, find ourselves, if the online world looks like it's just going a little bit too cuckoo, we just say, okay, let's just go outside because it's so beautiful out there. Hang out with the chickens, do some gardening, prune some trees, etc. And you realize that the world's actually beautiful.
Yeah.
I love that. That is such an encouraging message. And a lot of the comments that we were getting included questions about detoxing and what you just described. It's really a holistic way of living. And friends, you don't have to have acres to be able to incorporate some of these ideas. I love this fact that you sit together as a family, you pray before your meals, you incorporate the blessings you hear from your children. That alone is like the foundation of health and well-being and feeling that you are, truly safe and you can relax into that. So you don't have to have all of the cattle and your own garden if you are unable to do so, but you can select organic. There are programs where people can get the biodynamic food delivered. We did that for some years. We befriended local farmers at the farmers markets when the farmers markets were actually very hostile in California, not allowing people to breathe oxygen outdoors. Just it was restricting access to food. It was so strange. But then I heard stories where people started having the farmers. The merchants come to their own homes, their own driveway and set up the farmers market there where they didn't have to pay anything for the stalls. They didn't have to give a percentage to the market manager because the government had their fingers in all of that. So there's, one of my mottos is there's always another way and I'm going to find it. And I'm inspired by some of these ideas that you mentioned. We have lots of good comments here about the homeschooling, the unschooling, and having your children with you learning naturally. You know what this reminds me of is prior to the whole industrialization, and even just 100 years ago, where people had family farms, even if it was not a working farm where you were earning a living off what you grew, you did it for yourself. I mean, even as a child, I remember my dad putting in a farm like in our suburban backyard. It was just natural that you put in the garden, is what I meant to say. And so you had your vegetables. You don't need a big plot. I saw videos on YouTube. People are growing potatoes like in plastic bags in their kitchen, inside. They don't even need sunlight. So there's always another way of doing it. And I think the most important thing that I'm taking away from our conversation is to just like take responsibility for your own health. Don't give that away to the mainstream medical merry-go-round. Don't rely on the doctors. I'm certainly you have a broken leg or maybe it's something you need to have stitched up, but being your own advocate and when you're taking action, simple things like taking care of yourself, getting out in the fresh air, the sunlight without the toxic sunscreen, you feel better. Like I'm in charge of my own health. I don't need the government or even a doctor to manage every aspect. And I'm so lucky here on the Healthy American because we are, this is a like-minded group. Friends, please go to Dr. Sam's website because there are beautiful videos and you'll see some footage of the farms. What was that one, Dr. Sam? There's
It was
a short.
Yeah, we did one with I think you're talking about with Tom Cowan and Andy
Yes.
as well. And we showed some of our like where we live. We
It's
just moved. It
beautiful.
was a bit crazy
Yeah.
at the time. But yeah, it's why we are doing this is what it's
Yes,
called.
yes.
Yep.
So
And
everybody see that video. Yeah, it's really beautiful and inspiring, and it's de-stressing just looking at that. So we could go on and on. I'm sure there are more questions that people have, but I want to direct everybody to drsambailey.com. You can find information about Dr. Mark and Dr. Sam. You can see the videos. Dr. Sam, you put out such great content. I saw your video some months ago about rabies. I've been speaking out about that as well, and the harms that are perpetrated upon our animals unnecessarily. And again, the innocent victims that can't really stand up and say, I don't want that. So please, friends, take a look at that. Keep your animals out of that veterinarian, medical merry-go-round as well. I used to joke back in the COVID days that if I got sick, take me to the vet because I'm not going to the doctor. Luckily, I haven't had to do anything. But I'm not a person that lives in fear, and I don't fear disease either. And I love that people are curious, and I really admire fine intellects like yourselves that can study and learn and put the pieces together. But at the end of the day, there are things that are not going to be revealed to us in this life. There are things that are so majestic, so beyond our human ability to understand, and I think that's okay. And I think it's admirable for people that are driven to want to know everything, but I don't think we can know everything. So that's okay too. And it's okay if we don't know exactly why one person gets sick and the other doesn't. Sometimes that happens. Why are some people, tall or short or dark hair or light hair? It's just how things are. We want to make the most of every day, count our blessings. You are blessings to us. I'm so grateful for your time, for your expertise, for your knowledge and inspiration. You're so down to earth, so approachable. And I will just give you the last word as we sign off here. Anything maybe I didn't
I
ask
think,
or you'd like to share?
yeah, thank you, Peggy. I think you kind of hit it on the head there too, because sometimes people think because we do the fun videos and stuff and, try and make things easier to understand, but we also write technical papers, as you know, which are very dry and very heavy. And people might think, did the Baileys go looking for the answers in these arcane virology and molecular biology papers? No, we only do that as a public service. We go into those papers to show why it's completely flawed, why it's unscientific, and why the virus model's broken and contagion and all of these types of things. Because Sam and I have never found anything worthwhile in those arcane publications which try this reductionistic approach. And what we find is that we just keep going to those higher levels, like the spiritual level, the community level, the looking after the environment and the animals, etc. You take care of that and everything follows on. Living, right thinking, everything will follow on. Nature does not make mistakes. Men make mistakes. And if we learn that and learn to respect God and nature, then everything else just follows on.
Yeah, and Peggy, I think what you do is the same as us, is that you shine the light of truth onto things, and that reduces people's fear. And I think that's so important. And people can learn, and our lives have changed and for the better since this has all happened. And I'm grateful to it every day that we can talk with people like yourself and learn, because we've all got areas that we're probably better at than others. And it's yeah, there's always something new to learn, which I love.
That is so wonderful. Yes. Evil can only destroy. It can never create. And that's what we're here to do, is to create solutions, ideas, connections, growth. So I am actually quite optimistic about the future. More and more people are learning, they're connecting, they're taking action, and we just have to, I call it outwit the nitwits. We have to enjoy, we have to enjoy life even more so, and not give ourselves over to the dread and the spin cycle. And something that I'm, even though I do a daily show on YouTube, I'm you know, often take a lighthearted, sort of snarky approach to some things because we want to be informed but not obsessed. And if we are chasing every headline and living in dread and, you know, not knowing every single answer to everything, that causes the anxiety. I just want to finish with this last story of when I was doing my personal training back in the day, and I was doing a class on anatomy, and somebody asked the professor, you know, I'm very concerned about radiation. And she said, you know, women who are wearing wire in the bra, like, is that causing, you know, I'm really worried about the wire in the bra. And the professor said, worrying about the wire in the bra is worse than the wire in the bra. And I've never forgotten that. And that really sums up my approach. I hope that people are going to live fully and freely and, you know, be informed, not obsessed, be concerned without being fearful. And I think that people that have strong faith and have a purpose in their life, they're able to let some of this roll off their back. So I hope that we'll have another chance in the future to connect. I really appreciate all of your contributions, just the model that you are, and thank you, and God bless you. Thank you, everybody, for being on board. This will be recorded, and you know where to find the link, everyone. We'll send it out to you as well. So have a great rest of the day. I know we're on opposite ends of the day here. So thank you so much again. Take care, everybody. Until next time. Bye-bye.
Thanks, Peggy. Bye. Bye-bye.